Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast. You're listening to a special edition with our guest, Chris Bay. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys, a podcast, and I'm your host, DJ Impact. I have the full Bad Boys crew with me today. Sin City Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing today?
Good, good. Simon Street, you?
Hey, what's up? How everybody feeling?
We're all great, King Lucky.
The champ is here.
Apparently he is. Matt Michaels.
Yeah, this is going to be fucking awesome, dude. This is going to be great.
Awesome. On our phone line, we have a rising star in the indie scene from the many wrestling promotions he has championed. And mainly, he's been champion in just about all of them. From Championship Wrestling, from Hollywood, Gold Rush Pro Wrestling, Maverick Pro Wrestling, Wrestling Best of the West, and of course, holding multiple belts at Future Stars of Wrestling, I introduce to you Chris Bay.
That was probably one of the best introductions I've ever heard. Amazing.
He's been practicing all week.
Oh, sweet. That's got to be my new alarm in the morning.
Uh-oh. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so Chris, man, let's take it back right off the bat. How did you get started in the business, and where did you start?
I got started a couple years ago now in 2016. I was doing some research. I'd always wanted to wrestle, so it was always just a matter of time. When was the big question, or when and where was the two big questions. So I was looking at places in Florida. I was looking at places all over. I was in Virginia. And at the time, there wasn't any schools anywhere close available to me. Now I know they have a place that's over there, like 30 minutes from where I grew up, which is terribly ironic. But I wouldn't trade anything for the world. You know, I decided on Future Stars of Wrestling. I did some research, and I took a trip to Vegas for my birthday when I was 20, and I really fell in love with the city and just the weather, everything. So I did some research, and I found there was a school in Vegas called Future Stars of Wrestling, and I called, didn't get an answer, so I left a message. I don't know how many people still do that, but I left a message, and I just got to the gym one day, and the pre-workout was about to kick in. I was about to get out the locker room and start the workout, and I got a call from a Vegas number. It was a guy named Joe DeFalco, who runs Future Stars of Wrestling, and he gave me the lowdown on the school. He told me, like, who was all the trainers, the days of the week that they offered at the school, the shows that they put on at Samstown and Silverton or whatever. And I was hooked, you know. There wasn't really just one name that I heard that stood out that made me jump into it, more so the fact that it seemed like it was meant to be, because every other school I looked at, either the tuition was too high and the days offered weren't enough. It just seemed like the ultimate package, so... I told him, I was like, all right, cool, I'm probably going to move there in a couple of months. And I'm sure he looked at his phone like, who the hell is wasting my time like this? I've seen people do it to him now multiple times, so it's funny to be on the other side. But a couple of months later, that was probably either April or May 2016 we spoke. And then August, I walked in for my first day of training, and haven't looked back since. I've been trained through there. I've attended many seminars through us as well. But I've been fortunate enough to be at this one location for the last 2 years, but get a lot out of it, you know.
Who do you think has been your main influence so far at FSW? And let's put Joe aside, because Joe is kind of like, I would consider him the the godfather of the company. In terms of like hands-on training and knowledge of the business, who has really been the spark that is lighting your fire?
It'd be Sway Thompson for sure. Nice. Before you said training, it would have been Killer Cross for sure. He was the very first person to teach a class that I attended. It was a promo class, and he's just a brilliant guy, you know, brilliant mind. But when it comes to just all around, Swade was like the first guy there who I saw, and I kind of felt like that was going to be the direction I headed in out of most people who were around, because at the time Swade was doing like the multi-man matches in California and doing Shooting Stars and all types of guys and stuff, and I guess this is where I'm headed right here. But he was the first person to keep it real with me. I had some terrible gear from I don't want to bury the company, but from a company that everyone gets terrible gear from. And it was some basic gear, and I knew it was terrible, but no one had told me, yeah, you should get some custom gear. Everyone was like, sweet, you got gear. That'll work for now. So I was kind of like floating by with Swade. I knew him for probably 3 weeks, but when I say no, I mean, hi, hello, how you doing? That's it.
Right.
But he came up to me and was like, yo, your gear is trash. he was like, your gear is trash. Basically, like, handed me a card and was like, here's my gear guy. This is who you need to go to. And then started asking me questions about like my character and whatever else, and stuff that no one else was asking me at the time. And I immediately looked at him sideways in the way of like, why is this guy coming over here, coming at me like that? But then I thought about it and was like, clearly he wants what's best for me, because I knew this was trash. He knew it was trash. Everyone else knew it was trash, but they were telling me it was cool.
Right.
He was the only one to keep it real, so immediately I was just like, yeah, this guy's got my best interest. And then we started to train together, and I started to go to his classes that he would help teach, and then eventually I went on the road with him for my first road trips, and here we are 2 years later, you know, still a tag team, championships in different states, and just only building right now. We just hit a couple new locations recently, so the rest was history. But Swade Thompson, that guy who I first, like, claimed to and kind of saw myself going down that same route, and I knew he was going to be the most influential at the time to help me, because he was pretty much the only one in Vegas that I could get my hands on that was traveling at the time, you know?
Right.
Some people just weren't traveling, and other people were just, you can't get the handle up because they're going alone, but he had that extra spot in his car that had just opened up, so the timing couldn't have lined up more perfect, you know?
And what you guys are doing, the Hollywood Championship Wrestling, it's fucking phenomenal. You know, you guys are working together so well. It's like you turn it on and it's, you can't take your eyes off of, and you know, some tag teams work together, in the ring, and they're, you know, they're good. They're, you know, they're,
right.
You know, but what I love is when you watch you guys interact, you're both living the gimmick in the moment. And it's phenomenal, man. And I think that, you know, if people, you guys need to check out what they're doing, because you, if especially too, if you're learning how to wrestle, watch Chris's facial expressions in terms of the way he sells things. And I'm not talking just bumps. I'm talking everything is done with an intention, and that's fucking brilliant that you've come from where you started to where you are now, and you're already way ahead of, you know, some guys who are established names at this point.
Right. Well, I appreciate the compliments for sure, and I attribute it to the selection of the school I chose, you know. It could have been different. It would have been different everywhere else I would have went, had I gone anywhere else. But I went where I went, and I got to learn from people like Kenny King, who's at Ring of Honor, you know, and been in the game 20 years. People like Disco Inferno, who's been, you know, former WCW television cruiserweight champion, you know. Just people from so many different rings and so many different eras, you know. So you get a little bit of each style, but everything you're learning is something that's worked or been successful on television. And at the end of the day, we all get into wrestling, whether we want to admit it or not, from being television wrestlers. You know, you watch WWE growing up, WCW, whatever it is you watched, it was on television. It's television wrestling. So for me, it was an easier transition to do that than to just do the like super indie-rific matches, which I love those too. I love the indie too, but I think television thank you for pointing out that the facials are good, because that's the important part of television. Giving it to the audience at home instead of just the crowd that's in attendance. You gotta paint that picture for the larger audience.
Yep.
Definitely, man. And so obviously you are extremely active on social media. You actually posed a question today on your Twitter feed, and you asked people what makes you happy in life. So, Chris Bay, what makes you happy in life?
Wow, you just pulled up on me from my own Twitter. That's what we're doing, huh? That's what we're doing. Okay. Listen. Okay, but yeah, that's what we're doing. All right, I'm gonna take notes for that one. I'm remembering that one.
Man, that's Sin City, you know, Steve. I mean, you got to have a receipt for him.
What makes me happy, man, is being able to do what I want to do, and by that, it's a super broad umbrella that a lot of ideas fall under, but. I like wrestling, so I can talk trash all I want and talk about how, like, I'm bored or whatever the case is, or how we all get disgruntled or whatever, or I just want to go do something else or go back to skateboarding or whatever I might be talking about at the time. But when I'm in my gear and the music hits and I step through the curtain, like, you hear it a million times, but that I'm happy as hell right there in that moment, because it's a natural position I've always saw myself in, like, growing up, all I wanted to do was wrestle, so I can't tell you the countless amount of hours I spent in my room alone, like, imagining there was an audience on me, or wanting there to be that audience on me, or you know, or, like, reacting the way the people I watched on television were reacting. I've always wanted to be in that spot, so when it finally just happens, like, that, it makes me so happy, but I got into wrestling to give that feeling that wrestling gives me, or gave me when I was a kid, give that back to people. I never saw it. I was like, oh, I'm going to be a millionaire from wrestling. Yeah. I never saw it like that. So when, like, the kids feel it and the kids are happy with it, or, you know, I meet new kids who come up to me at the merch table after, when I just see them visually while I'm, you know, making eye contact in the ring and I'm doing my thing, like, that's always a thing that makes me happy. Making music makes me happy. And just quality time. I'm big into quality time these days. As far as growing up, I had friends and I did the friend thing, but I spent a lot of time alone because wrestling was kind of my alone thing because no one else cared for it. So I'm more into quality time now that I have that. I spend a lot of time with my brothers, or, you know, my friends that I made through wrestling, or even just new people. I'm just a big quality time person. That makes me happy. And food, for sure, makes me happy.
And, you know, last month you posted a Mother's Day tribute post. Has she always supported your dreams of becoming a pro wrestler? And furthermore, is she proud of seeing you accomplish all your goals?
I don't want her to hear this and come for me, but I don't think she's always supported it as much as I'd like to say, for the fairy tale sake. But it wasn't even that she didn't support it. It's just everyone has that stigma about wrestling. So when you have five older brothers and you're just in a house of boys and testosterone all day long, and you're the youngest, so you're just like, I'm gonna be a wrestler. Of course, that's one of the things that's just like, sure, you are. Yeah, now go fight your brother. Like, whatever. Like, go do some MMA. Go get some grades. How about you mess with some grades? How about you do that? You know. But for me, it was like, oh, when you're 13, you'll grow out of it. And then I turned 13, and well, when you're this age, you'll grow out of it. And then one day, it was kind of just like, oh, you really want to do that? And then it was the day that came where I was like, so I just booked my plane ticket, and I'm leaving now, and I'm actually gonna go do this. And it was wow. It was that moment of, oh, you're really going to leave and go do this. And then I think one of my favorite moments that I've had in wrestling was last year at the 9-year anniversary for FSW. I got to wrestle in front of my mom for the first time. And
awesome.
It's I have terrible eyesight. I'm not going to lie to you. So when I'm in the ring and I'm, like, scouting for people, that squint is so real because I can't see anything. So, but I saw her. And it was enough to make me put on the best performance of my life. And so now she loves it. She's thrilled that I do it. She's on Instagram and likes all my stuff. She she hates seeing me get thrown around and take these crazy bumps, but what mother doesn't, you know?
That's true.
But she's real cool with it, and she's just very proud of me. She's my rock for sure. I owe a lot to her. I miss her all the time, and if I could wrestle in front of her every day, I'd be happy, you know?
Definitely. That's amazing. Yeah.
So, hey, Chris, you know, I follow you on Instagram, and man, your workout regimen is on point. And it's, I don't know if you work out daily. I'm assuming you work out daily because I'm always seeing you and the rest of your friends working out. What is your regular workout regimen? I mean, what do you say is like your routine?
As much as it looks like daily, it's not daily. I try to post daily to create that illusion.
You be making me feel bad, man.
I work out once a year, but in 7 different outfits, and I rotate them for video purposes to make it look like it's a new day. I even braid my hair differently in the bathroom.
Wow.
And I know, with a whole new fit on. People think it's years apart. No, it's the angles, brother. For real though, I've changed my style of working out a lot since I got into wrestling. Like before I got to wrestling, I was kind of like a power builder.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really into aesthetics, so the bodybuilding portion was there, but I also wanted to be the strongest person. So I would always start off my workout with like a power lift, and then after that branch into like bodybuilding training.
Mm-hmm.
But with powerlifting weights, if that makes any sense.
Makes sense.
I was super strong when I got into wrestling, and then after my first injury, I lost a lot. So now, more so in the gym, I've been focusing on targeting whatever my weaknesses are specifically. So I have my, like, every day I hit a little bit of everything whenever I'm in the gym, and then but there will be the targets that get a little bit more work. Or say, for example, I just got off the road and my neck hurts. I'll take it easy, but then maybe the second day back in the gym, I'll make sure that I'm doing neck exercises or targeting my neck, or like I bumped my shoulder 2 weeks ago or something like that, and I was going to do a shoulder like the next day and I could barely lift it. And it's not the smartest thing to do, but I also don't go heavy. So like I'm just working on mobility and staying safe, but and building back up from these injuries. So right now the workouts just look like, yeah, every day, everything's a superset. Almost everything's a superset. I superset everything, and it's always like switching workouts. So it'll be like superset it with biceps and triceps, or maybe it's superset it with biceps and quads, or maybe it's hamstrings and shoulders. Like I switch it up completely like that throughout the whole workout, just so my body never gets accustomed to one routine anymore. So I'm always changing it up. So I'm never out of the gym and thinking that I'm not sore, because I'm always sore. I'll go to the school and train for a couple hours in the ring and then go to the gym after, usually.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's usually how my days are consistent, but it's just very important to me. And that was the first thing that I had in life that provided me the stress reliever and releasing the anger from not being able to wrestle when I couldn't wrestle and I wanted to wrestle. The gym was the first thing I discovered. So it's a good thing that I just use to keep my mind healthy, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, you definitely motivate me, because this was a couple of times I was not wanting to go to the gym after work. And I remember seeing like your post, because you always be flexing. You must love your abs, because you always be flexing your abs and stuff. I'm like, man, let me get my old little chubby ass in the gym and start working out. These young bucks are doing it. Man. I got to do it.
Yeah, right now.
The abs are the key, man.
Exactly. Yeah, because right now Street, he has that thing where if you put a little lipstick around his belly button and then you put a little eyes around the nipples, he's got a face going on.
It ain't that bad. Hold on. It ain't that bad. But let's just say like this. If I put in as much work as you putting in, I think that in 6 months I could come close. I ain't going to have your abs because I'm no longer in my 20s. But I get pretty good.
Listen, you ain't gonna have my abs anyway. I've been training these since the 4th grade, man. Ain't going nowhere.
Got it.
I saw, it's a true story. I saw Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, John DeMundo, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, "Yo, this guy's got abs, and he got this girl on his abs."
Yeah,
I gotta have his abs.
Since then, I've been doing abs.
That's so,
it's true, because when I had the abs, they was always there.
That's That's what I'm saying. So you ain't gonna get the abs, but you know what I'm saying. But consistency, you'll definitely get whatever you want to get. I tell people all the time, it's just about input output. It's that's just simple. I conduct my life after that. It's input output. If you want it, you got to put in that work to get it. And that goes for the gym. That goes for anything. I've made significant changes in my body. I'm talking. I put on 16 pounds one time in 4 days.
Wow.
Just because I knew if I put my mind to it, I could. I remember I took my own personal push-up challenge one night. It was like 7:58, and I was like 17, and I was just like, man, what if at 8 o'clock I just try to do as many push-ups as I can in a half hour? And I think I got like 800-something, and the next day I was so sore, and it was like 2 minutes before that same time, and I was like, I'll try it again, and I got 1,017.
Oh, man. Like,
wow.
I've always pushed myself to these random... You know, like Undertaker a couple of years ago, it broke on ESPN, him rack pulling 500 pounds. And I was like, he's old. I can do it too. I went to the gym and rack pulled it twice, you know. And like,
wow.
Between the first and second rep, I was like, this one's for the Undertaker. But I know if I put my mind to it, you can do it. And that's the same for you. You want to get consistent, bro. You want it, you'll make it happen.
Well, I'll try and make a goal, man. If I get the Mavs again, I'll try and put it on, I'll post it on Instagram, and we'll see how many likes I get after it.
Oh, no.
I'll share it for you.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it.
Please make the app video now. Yeah. I want to see that get shared.
The before and after.
Yeah. It's not really that bad, but it ain't really that good either, so.
Yeah. This is
awesome. I've already taken all my pictures for the year, so I'm going to have to get back to 2020, when I get some updated ones, and then we'll go from there.
All right.
And this is coming from, you know, four not in shape dudes giving street shit. This is the funniest.
Yeah,
thing.
he's the most fittest guy out of all of us.
Well, I got endurance. I mean, I can run like miles. I've always had endurance. It's just, you know, as you get older, you get a little bit of that, you know, play fat.
No,
play fat.
All right.
While you playing,
your next shirt is gonna have play fat on it.
Play fat.
Hey, Chris. Oh my god.
Play fat.
Play fat.
Hashtag play fat.
Hey, did you say the best podcast ever?
That's exactly what I just said.
That's awesome.
We appreciate it, man.
Hey, you know, on the single side of things, you know, you've had some really good matches with larger talent. We saw you about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. Against Luchasaurus, and you were putting on a show with him, and it goes back to like that, you know, how you said you got the weightlifting going and things like that, but man, you guys put on a show. What about your style makes you match up well with like all kind of different size talents?
I think it's a mixture of who I like to watch growing up and their ability to do it, and just me also having to cope with the fact that if I was going to pursue pro wrestling, I'd have to know how to get good at everything of that caliber, because growing up, you got to imagine all I was told was that I was too small, you know, and I understood that when I got to a certain height and realized I wasn't going to get any taller, or when I started working out and I was 110 pounds, that's when I made the conscious decision when I was like, oh, I'm going to need to put on weight if I'm going to do this wrestling thing. And then even then, people just saying that you can't do it. So I think all of that combined was something that made me understand that I have to be able to wrestle people of all stations, especially because I never grew up just saying, oh, I want to be a wrestler. If we're being honest, I grew up saying I wanted to be the WWE champion.
Yeah.
So to get to the top, you don't see small people at the top. There's the few every now and then,
right.
You know, the Daniel Bryans or the whomever come across, even the AJ Styles, you know, nowadays that it's more, possible, but
right
at the time I didn't see it, so I knew that I was gonna have to be that different. I didn't think that I would be specifically them and be that one out of the every few that would be the small one who wins, but so that was me being like, oh, so I gotta get big, I gotta be the bigger one, or I gotta be able to work with these people and be great at them. I loved watching Eddie Guerrero wrestle growing up, and like my favorite match that I used to watch every day for quite some years was him versus Brock Lesnar, and that's a story right there, just two different sized people, and then the underdog overcoming. And that was the moment that actually made me say, I 100% have to be a wrestler, because
nice.
A mixture of the emotion that went into it and then the real life story behind it that I had seen even play out similar with some of my brothers that and or family members that just made me relate to that and understand that Eddie's the best, and to be the best like Eddie, I got to be able to get in there with people like Brock, you know, or whoever it may be. And now I've been fortunate enough to wrestle people like Luchasaurus and Brody King and, yeah. and Killer Cross and Hammerstone and all these huge people that Willie Mack, you know, like all these really huge people that I've been in the ring with compared to my size, and we put on some really entertaining matches that fans still enjoy or still like to talk about. And I just, you have to have that difference. You gotta, it has to be in you to have that as a possibility to put on a good match with those guys, because some people just can't. And I don't want to be someone who can't work with anybody. I feel like I can work with anyone, whether it's going to be like the more comedy match, I can be funny, or last week at Suburban Fight, put me in a bar environment, you know, like fucking, I went to say something at the start of the fight. You know me, I like to be vocal. I went to say something before I even started my sentence. Some guy in the back row was like, shut the fuck up and fight. And I was like, yo. First of all, you can come fight me. Second of all, I'm going to finish my sentence. I got something to say that's kind of important to what I'm trying to tell. But, you know, like, I feel like I can do it all. You got to be able to do it all. You can't fear those things. I got into wrestling being small and thinking because I was strong, I was going to be able to just do these power moves on big people. And the first time I worked television, they didn't like it. They were just like, aesthetically, the way it looks with your height and this and that and the third, you should make some adjustments. So that's when I started doing more of the flying stuff and more of the speed and more of the finesse stuff. But it took for me to try it and fail and then realize, okay, that route isn't going to work just being strong. Now I got to learn the entertainment and the story to tell around that to make this work, you know?
Right. And it seems like you actually now wrestle smarter with that. And
yes.
It's fucking amazing. Like, I, again, and that comes from, you know, again, when people watch, it's great when fans watch because that's the fandom of it. That's why we love wrestling. But when you look at through the eyes of, you know, myself being in the ring and having worked with guys like Samoa Joe, the biggest compliment that, you know, another person can give another person in this business is, man, your style, you work smart and you tell a story. Those are like the two biggest things. And that's what, you know, you have going for you. Anyone who's listening who hasn't seen you wrestle, please, please, please go ahead and look up Chris's matches because they're amazing.
And I will also add to that.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. It comes from the heart, man. It's no bullshit. We do not blow smoke up people's asses. This comes from the heart.
Chris, I will.
I'd hope not.
No. These lips don't touch asses at all. But on a different note, Chris, I will tell you that at the end of the day, man, before I even got involved with doing a podcast with these other great gentlemen here, I actually had an opportunity to see you wrestle. You were doing I believe it was Big Valley Wrestling Promotion. And I'd happen to just stop in on a Sunday, and I saw you wrestle. And I didn't know nothing about you. I didn't know where you came from. And usually, I'm pretty much always right. I know Lucky don't think so, but it's the truth. I said that this guy has it. I'm being honest with you. And I'm just saying, you have it because, and I've seen you wrestle many other times besides that. You without even most people even knowing your background, man, you are already on the same level of people already established. That's just my personal take on it. Now, where it's great that what you're doing is Lucky don't watch 205 Live. He's never watched Cruiserweights. He's not really into like, but he really enjoys seeing you wrestle. So yeah, you have turned somebody who never was thinking about the type of wrestling you do to where now he's ecstatic. I mean, I don't know how far it's going if he has posters on his wall, but I'm saying, like, he is really ecstatic. He knows exactly who you are. And so that type of elevation on your game and just how the name says it for itself, you're a finesse. You know what I mean? When you're in the ring, finesse. The ultimate finesse. Yep. You do things, like, so finesse-wise. It's like, I would think you was in the business for, like, 15 years. Real talk.
Right.
So, I mean,
I appreciate that, man. I really do appreciate that. And thanks, Lucky. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Yeah, definitely.
You might actually get him to watch 205 live now for once, because he throws so much shade on 205. I'd be trying to get him to watch it with me.
Chris, it's not like I don't like, you know, the smaller guys. It's just 205. They just don't do a good job. If they had the ultimate finesser, then I'm watching the show.
Did you hear that?
Right. So you hear that? That was just some more talent development.
When Enzo was on the show, I was watching, and I like
getting,
yeah,
it was interesting.
It was interesting.
It was television.
Yeah, and you know, so I got a question for you too, man. You know, I've been watching wrestling for years. Your finisher, the swag surf, is just amazing, dude. How'd you come up with that?
how did I come up with that? That was a random April, or like a random February 2018, where I was, I see moves in my dreams sometimes, rather than not. That's how I come up with a lot of my ideas, but I'll see stuff in my dreams, and then I'll go to the lab, as I call it, just the school, and you know, start testing it out. And for that move, shout out to Shogun Jones, who was the original person to take it. But
nice.
The original idea was like a back body drop reversal, where I whip the person off and they reverse and they go for the back body drop, and I jump over their head on their back and then do the stomp there.
Gotcha.
But when I was doing it that way, their spine is so narrow that standing that way, you don't have a lot of balance. So then I decided to shift to the side and come off the side, and I found that it was a lot more stable. And I got the idea kind of from my old skateboarding days, where it's kind of like you ollie up onto a ledge or whatever, and then you jump back off, whatever it is, nice. Stomp it down, bolts. It's like it kind of was derived from skateboarding, and it was a trial and error that took me probably like 30 minutes of just trying different variations until I found one that I liked. And then even then, I used it maybe the next month, the first time against Austin Theory at Maverick, and then I didn't use it for like a couple another months, just because it's such a unique move. I didn't know how to just give it to the people, or whether, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do with it. And eventually it just started becoming something I did more and more so often. I remember I did a cool one last summer where I was facing the 1%, and I jumped off of Royce's back and gave the swag surf to Jarrell, and that was pretty gnarly. But yeah, it kind of just came from like skateboarding and me just hooking up in the lab and thinking of more ways to give this finesse thing a definition and an in-ring capacity, you know?
Without a doubt, man. And obviously talking about skateboarding and that kind of thing, that kind of leads me in. What kind of passions do you have outside of the ring?
Some kind of passions I have outside of the ring.
Yeah. Yeah, what kinds of things do you love to do outside of the ring?
Well, you know, I love ladies. Ladies are my passion. You
know? Yeah, definitely. That's a great passion to have, bro.
You know, you got to put the respect on the ladies. No, I really enjoy music, man. It's always been a part of my family. My grandfather was an entertainer himself, and my brothers, some of them make music that you can find online on whatever platforms.
What
shout out to them.
Yeah, what can we look up, and what can we promote out there for people listening?
You can look up my brother B Dula, B.Dula. B Dula. He's on iTunes and you know, YouTube, Spotify, all that stuff. He's got like a couple of music videos up on YouTube if you're into music videos and visuals. I got another brother who just goes under the name Bay, so you know what I'm saying, you can look him up as well. It's our real last name, so if that was ever a question, that's actually my real last name. So you can look up my brother and see some of his music. He's got some stuff on all platforms as well. But nice. Myself, I think I made my first mixtape technically when I was like 6, but no one heard it. It's on a cassette tape somewhere in my mom's house. The legit stuff. And then I kind of picked it back up like 9th grade through when I moved here in 2016. So like a solid 5 years there, but I put it on hold for wrestling because I when I got into wrestling, I was kind of more so of the lines of like, oh, I got to get wrestling everything, and now that wrestling is starting to work out pretty well, and I get you know, a good level of shows or whatever the case is. Now I'm getting back in the studio now, but I've been writing ever since I moved out to Vegas. I just hadn't recorded anything, but music is a big passion of mine that really seeing y'all will get some of my work. Hopefully by the end of this year, I'll be releasing a couple of singles, maybe just the whole mixtape in 2020, but we'll see as time goes on. I really enjoy that. It's one of my big passions. I like tattoos. Tattoos are really cool. I haven't been able to get some in a while because of wrestling, and
right.
Just, you don't really get that time to heal. And I plan on doing like my hand or like my sleeve next, and I just can't commit nice. That right now. I'm going to be in the ring
right.
a couple days after, you know.
Right.
But I plan to get back to that as well when the time is right for that. I enjoy not a lot of things, man, to be real. Like I said, the quality time thing in school. So if I'm with the right people, I enjoy anything. Now, I've gone on. I never thought I would. I've gone on hikes since I moved to Vegas, like with my homies, and I was with the right people that it was fun, you know, like snowboarding. I hate the cold, but I went on a snowboarding trip once, and nice. That was pretty dope. Like, it just depends on who I'm with, and I can really get into anything. I don't even watch any sports, but I've been to sporting games with friends, the right people. I can enjoy myself. But music and tattoos are like, and wrestling are kind of just like the three things, and women.
Do you have your guitar handy?
I don't have my guitar. True story. I sold all three of my guitars when I moved to Vegas to help fund my wrestling school.
Wow.
And so I haven't been able to have my guitar in years, but I was at the studio the other day and they had a guitar, and it was a real good feeling to get to pick one up again and just mess around. I've been trying to learn since I was 12. I say trying to learn because I'm honestly not good. The pictures are aesthetic. I'm saying, like, Shawty hit the DM off the pictures. Like, that's what the picture's for. But I'm going to get back to learning. Don't worry about that. So I ain't got that handy for you.
What we got to do is we got to find someone with a local shop who can come up with a Chris Bay special and make a guitar for you. There we go. That's going to be a project. We're going to work on that.
Sounds good.
Now,
featuring Elias.
Now, Chris, you were saying that you've lived in Vegas for about, what, 2 years or so?
Yeah, this summer coming up will be 3.
Got you. So you've had a chance to kind of check out some of our our independent music scene that we have. And actually, I have a lot of friends that are in the independent music scene, and a lot of them are artists. Some you may know if you've been around it or not. There's a lot of opportunity out here, even in that realm. Whether it is you just want to get your music out and have people listen to it, and in venues and whatnot, or if you want to take it to the next level or what have you. Have you had a chance to experience any of that?
I actually haven't, but I've met a handful of people, probably two handfuls at this point, of people who have put the offer out there. I can't really say any names just because I've known that I was going to take a break from music until I was ready, even though I was still writing and stuff. I kind of shut off the idea of even like jam sessions or just going through and exploring, because I knew if I'm going to invest in something, I'm going to do it full and not like half of my energy. Same with you all when we were trying to schedule this. It was like, I was trying to get it done. And then before I knew it, like, I'm not even going to lie to you right now. When you called, I totally forgot. I was about to go get some food. And you called and I was like, oh yeah, this is happening right now. And I answered the phone because, once again, I try to make stuff happen 100%. I just
absolutely.
Sometimes I forget or like I don't invest in it. But I've had some offers put on the table. I just haven't taken them up. But now that I am coming back into it, that'll be happening a lot more. So I'll be able to further answer that question on the next time we're on this podcast.
All right, boom, man. There it is. Got you coming back the second time.
Already locked in.
Awesome. Hey, so
that's it. You can't just leave the question unanswered. You got to come back to it at some point.
Right. 2018 was a very big year for you. You had matches and Impact.
What year was that?
2018.
I'm sorry, I don't know. I don't know what year that was. I only know 2018.
There you go. There it is. 2018 was it was a pretty big year for you. You had matches and Impact and ROH. You feel like it's just a matter of time before you break through to the big time?
100%, but that's not to knock anyone who has taken longer or anyone whose journey has been different than mine. You just can't compare journeys right. in this yeah. business. So for yep. me, you got to understand that everyone's going to have a different pace. But me personally, I just have different goals. I have a different work ethic, and not to say I go harder than certain people, because that's not what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is that's my goal. My goal is to do this quickly. I didn't want to do this in a short amount of time. I don't, or in a long amount of time. I want to get in and get out, as they say. And accomplish everything that I need to accomplish. So I do think it's a matter of time, and I've been fortunate enough to have a couple conversations with a couple people, and there's even been some rumors recently that surfaced that were untrue about me signing places that could have, may have, potentially, we'll never know, hindered my chances of going elsewhere. Right. But just so we know, and it's clear now, I am a free agent, and I'm 100% thinking that it could be any day now, because that's the level of intensity I put in this. You said it yourself. I'm always posting on social media. Yep. Social media is a brand. I'm always yep. networking. I'm always uploading content to my YouTube with wrestling. Right now, before we got on the phone, I was working on my custom video package that'll play at the 10-year anniversary, which nice. Now when you see it, you'll know, like, oh, he made that himself. I do a lot of this stuff myself. I'm always working on this wrestling. I'm in the gym trying to get bigger, so that when people see me in 2020 or whatever the year is, they can clearly see the difference from each year of my wrestling, how I've improved. It's all for the greater good. I put 100% of my time into this. I haven't been able to build relationships. I haven't been really home to see my family. I'm missing my nieces and nephews growing up. I 100% expect it to be any day now, because that's what I put the work in for. Of course, it couldn't be, but that's what I'm working for. And if I don't get it, I'm going to just keep working until I get it. And when it's gotten, I'm just going to take it all the way to the top, and, you know, but that's how I feel about it, at least, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. I will tell you that, you know, we believe in your talent, and that's the reason why, you know, if there's anything that you're attached to, we also promote it. And I will say that with StarCast happening 2 weeks ago, that was huge. Was it surreal for you being part of that weekend?
It was, and there was a couple moments where I had to just stop and realize everything that was going on around me, because it was all going so fast. And when stuff usually starts like that, I'm the type to be like, oh, man, I can't wait till it's over. But I'm also enjoying every single second of it, you know. So I always try to stop and feel these moments. I was telling someone the other day, they were asking me, like, what it was like to wrestle my idols. And I was telling them that, you know, when I'm in the ring and I look at them eye to eye and I can reach out and touch and punch and whatever, like, I have those moments. I always stop and just feel that, you know. And it was same with StarCast, where I knew AEW was coming for months, you know, and right. I had goals for this year that I wanted to accomplish by this time period, and I didn't accomplish all those goals, and I thought I was going to be bitter about it. I thought I'd let my emotions get the best of me, but when it was happening, every second of it, I was just enjoying the ride, man. Even, yeah. like, being on the StarCast panel for the wrestling with Stereotypes, I remember at one point, I just looked behind me in the chair to look at the board behind us that said StarCast and look at the details of it, just thinking, like, yeah, I'm sitting right here in front of this joint, like, yeah. microphone in my face, on this panel, sitting next to these people, you know, who I respect, and, It's just a sweet feeling when that's how you can feel it paying off, because, okay, I'm not a part of AEW. I wasn't on the AEW show, but every other wrestling show that transpired that weekend, I was either
yep.
on the card or I was the main event.
Yep.
Which is like, that's the ultimate payoff right there. You come to my city, Las Vegas, and I get to be a part of everything in yep. some type of capacity. It's a win-win, man. It's exactly what I'm working for. I wouldn't have accepted anything less. More, of course, I was expecting more. Well, I was working for more. But anything less than what I got, I would have never accepted, because I go too hard for that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, dude, it's amazing, you know, your journey. And I saw a post that you had earlier, a couple months ago, when WrestleMania was happening this year, about Kofi Kingston. How inspirational is that to see someone that looks like you? And a lot of times people are like, oh man, you know, Chris Bay looks like Kofi Kingston, but to go through that and break through and grab that brass ring, man, you shed a couple tears for that.
I did, man. And it was a crazy thing because I didn't, I knew I was going to be in New York the entire time leading up to WrestleMania this year. Like from last year, I had planned it. I wasn't in Louisiana last year. And I was wishing I was there the whole time. So this year I made it a point to be there. Just like next year in Tampa, I'm making it a point to be there.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to be there, but none of us knew that we're about to get taken on that emotional roller coaster of Kofi being filling in for Mustafa or whatever the case was, and then, you know, getting all that steam, building all that steam. I don't watch WWE's product, but I keep tabs on it.
Right.
So,
okay.
When I saw what was happening, it started to make me feel like, okay, cool, this is really big. And then as it got closer, I was like, wow, this could really happen. And you talk about the importance of it. I didn't get to speak too much about that scenario on the podcast we did with the Wrestling with Stereotypes because of time restrictions. But specifically for me growing up, never seeing someone win that WWE championship, black, you know, people have, you know, The Rock, okay, cool. I'm not even going to talk about that. I like you, Dwayne. Cool with me. But fucking, you know, Rock ain't never had no dreads. Let me go back to Kofi.
Yeah.
Go back to Kofi. I remember when Kofi first debuted on ECW, and I was like in seventh or eighth grade, and me and my boy were tuning in to ECW, me and my homie Tafai, we were tuning in like just to laugh, and not at Kofi, but just like we thought it was hilarious, the dude coming out with the Jamaican gimmick, like, and of course we thought it was hilarious. And we're walking around school like boom. You know, like we thought that was hilarious, and then you fast forward to the week I won the FSW Heavyweight Championship, and a couple days before that, SmackDown was in town, and we ended up hanging out with Kofi and Xavier at a location later that night, and that's when I got to personally meet Kofi and just share some stories with some laughs with him, play Tekken with him. You know, like
were y'all at the D? Was that where
it was at the Nerd Bar?
Yeah, that's the Nerd Bar. Nerd Bar. Okay,
they had an
event. Shout out to Nerd Bar.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after that, and then getting to talk to him and know him a little bit, I had an even more level of respect for him. And then fast forward to at Wally Mania, and I feel the energy of everyone in the crowd and everyone who's in the building just wanting this to happen, and then you take it to the actual moment where it was happening, and 1, 2, 3, that was the moment right there that I just thought I would never see. That was the moment right there that deterred me from maybe wanting to work for that company, or growing up thinking that it was possible, or wanting to be myself, or wanting to grow my hair out when I was young. I wanted to grow my hair out for a long time. I never did until a certain age, but that was because any black dude or any champion in WWE was either, like, you know, white with long straight hair, or they had the short hair, you know, like, but there wasn't the black guy with the dreads, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and looking at it, I always just thought, like, okay, like, it's just not going to happen. It's just not possible. So it almost deterred my dreams to the point where I almost didn't want to even wrestle anymore. When I was old enough to leave home and do it, I was like, wow, do I really still want to do this? Is this even possible? Because not only am I smaller, like everyone keeps telling me, but I got these tattoos that I started getting when I was 15. I got these dreads that are growing up now. Am I ever going to be able to achieve that? And now with Kofi achieving that, we don't ever have to feel that again. No one has to feel the way I felt, because wrestling is my life. And for me to get to be able to do it now and be successful for it and build the way I've been building, that means everything to me. And I just wish that I didn't have to feel the way I felt when I was younger.
Right.
Looking at it without us having the representation in place. Because that's what it's all about. You know, someone told me at the Nerd Bar last week that you know, they had a 2-year-old son, and they were saying that they need people like me in the business. And I don't necessarily agree to put myself over, but it's like, that right there was what that was about. That's what the Kofi thing is about. Like, it speaks to all of us. It speaks to everyone. Like, I had to cry because it speaks for everyone in the world. Like, everyone felt that. That was so real in the moment. And I still can't watch that clip of him winning the title without crying. Like, every time I watched it like 4 times after it happened, the same day while I was at the airport waiting to fly back to Vegas. And then you know, and each time it's crying because it will never get old. That will never get old. Some guy shared it on Facebook and some guy had the audacity to think that it's too late, no one cares anymore. And I was like, bro,
fuck,
that's and but he was black too, and I was just like,
wow.
Hey. I was like, how do you even, like, you know, like, I just didn't understand how, what do you mean it's too late, no one cares anymore, when all these people care.
Yeah, that's true.
Rather late than never. It's happening. You know, it's happening now.
Right.
You know, whether if it ends tonight, it happens, you know?
Hey, Chris, did you get a chance to look on Kofi's Twitter? I believe it had to be recently. He visited his grandfather's his grandfather's country, and that made me cry. Because I actually retweeted and said, this is the most beautiful thing. Because you can see they were welcoming home a hero. And everybody that was there, it reminded me almost as a scene of, remember Muhammad Ali, Rumble in the Jungle? It almost felt like that. Like they were ushering him in. Yeah. Like, you represent us. And it was even past that. And I was just like everything you say, man, I'm not even going to repeat it. Because I had already said it many a times over. But I think it's special now that now we're gonna have some little kid looking up with no restrictions, say, I can do that. You know what I mean? And not have to wonder, but what if? No, there's no more what ifs. We can be that. And truth be told, you could be next. In fact, you probably will be.
Right.
Well, you know what, and along those lines, and one of the coolest things that I saw recently from the FSW show that was Saturday night on June 1st. There was a Australian woman who had commented that she posted a picture of you and her two sons. And those kids...
Her two daughters, yeah.
Yeah, the two daughters. Yeah, that was it. Those kids were so, like, excited and over the moon. And you could tell that, you know... It is like, it's not even you could be next. You are next. You are.
Oh, and I'm sorry for correcting you. You're right. There was two different people who both had two sets of kids.
One was
two boys. One was two girls. I remember the one.
They're from Australia, and it stuck out because the Australia thing. But the biggest thing, and now you just proved something else, and that was girls and boys. You know, it's right. Like you are inspiring not only, you know, boys, because it used to be just the boys. Now it's the girls, too. And, you know, it's like anything is possible. And you're already unlocking that door. And I think that's the thing. I mean, I've seen the way you are around the kids. And I think that is the most fabulous thing to watch. Because even, you know what, and it blows my mind. Some of the guys... just don't take that extra 2 seconds to get that smile out of that kid. Mm-hmm. And that's what you do. And I think that this is something that's very important and shows your personality and who you are as a person. And like you said, you know, the dreadlocks, the tattoos, the best thing about you that you have going is that you're true to you and you're creating this around who you are. And it's fucking phenomenal. And it also makes us proud to say that, you know, because we're not all, you know, we're not Vegas born. We all come from other places and we, you know, we all moved here. And yet you are, you know, Vegas born, essentially, you know, and that's what we love about it is because you are someone that everyone in this city can embrace as our champion.
Man, that means a lot. It really does. Yeah, that, I'm humbled by those words, man. I told you earlier, I got into this to give that feeling back to those kids. So
yeah.
For me, it's always about them. It's always about that extra second with them. You know, like you said, some people don't do it, but it's not for everyone to do. And like growing up, I remember let's bring back up John Morrison for a second. He was the first wrestler I ever met. Went to meet him at an autograph signing when I was 9 or 10. I can't remember. It was 2006, and I remember he was a heel on TV. He was always a heel, as Johnny Nitro, you know. but I was still a fan of him. And when I met him, I didn't know whether, because people say wrestling's fake, but there wasn't like the internet there today that just proves it or like has people out of character or whatever, you know, like, so I remember not knowing what type of interaction we were going to have.
Right.
And I remember him just being a real genuine guy and being real nice and real kind to me. And, it could have easily deterred me the other way if it would have went the other way. If he would have just, maybe if he had healed up on me, I would have understood because of the character. But what if he was just an asshole and I was just like, oh, this guy doesn't want to meet us. You know, this guy sucks. You know, like it could have deterred me from ever watching wrestling again, or you know, and I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So for me, I got a really good first representation of how to act, you know, publicly when you're responding to fans or when you're talking to fans, because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, is everyone coming together for this. We all are the quote-unquote weird ones because we like wrestling, which everyone else, you know, calls whatever they call or treats the way they treat it. We all have something in common. That's that we believe in this.
Yeah.
And we enjoy this together. So we have to have that bond. We have to have that relationship that's established there. And how do I make sure that the kids have a good time and come back if I blow them off after they spent all their energy cheering for me in the match? You know, like, what does that do for them?
Right.
I just walk past them and don't acknowledge them. It does nothing for them. It doesn't do anything for the business. It doesn't do anything for them. They don't keep that same energy the next time. Maybe there is no next time.
Right.
How do we secure that next time?
Right.
You know, it's by building relationships with people.
And it leads up to the coolest thing, and that is, at the last Samstown event, you got to wrestle John Morrison in the hometown with the, you know, with the belt coming out and everything. It was so awesome to see. And guess what, man? 10 years from now, 15 years from now, some kid is going to come up to you and say, "Hey, I first met you when I was 10 years old, and now we're wrestling that, you know, tonight." That's fucking phenomenal. Right. And that's what I love, man.
I've never even thought about it that way, but you're right. You know, that's 100% a possibility that can happen. That's the best part about this, man. It's the best part about it. All of that stuff combined to make this.
Definitely, man.
You know?
And so, hey, Chris, as we're winding down, we've got a little thing that I like to do here. Obviously, I'm Sin City Steve, and the seven deadly sins are a thing. So how can we tie that into the show? Well, we're going to do a game of word association. So I'm going to say a name or a promotion, something to that effect, and just tell me the first thing that pops into your head. And we're going to do this for 70 seconds. So this is 70 deadly seconds. Are you ready?
Jesus Christ, let's do it.
That's probably the best reply that I've gotten. All right, so let's get the time on the clock. And
wait. So I can say names or anything that just comes to my mind.
So I've got a list of names, and then you just tell me the first thing that comes to your mind after I say them.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And yeah, you can say whatever you want. Doesn't matter. All right.
Okay.
So first things first. Future stars of wrestling.
Oh.
John Hennigan.
the goat.
Scorpio Sky.
The best.
Championship Wrestling from Hollywood.
Television.
Suede Thompson.
Brother.
Willie Mack.
Nigga. Can I say that?
Yeah, of course you can. Of course you can, bro.
Especially with Willie. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yep.
Impact Wrestling.
Gold.
Luchasaurus.
Underrated.
Yeah.
The Rascals.
Extremely untouchable.
Nice.
Yeah.
Damian Drake.
Oh my God. Hidden gem.
Yep.
Hammerstone.
The creamiest.
And lastly, the 1%.
Oh man. Team.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's a team right there.
Very cool.
So we got another segment for you. Didn't think we was gonna fit it in, but I guess we're gonna fit it in. So, this last segment that we're going to do is pretty much anytime, inside the ring, outside the ring, in a bar, in a bathroom, in your bedroom, any place that you have ever been. This is the oh shit moment. Basically, anything that has ever happened in those places that I just named, you get an opportunity to share that story with us.
So it's going to be one story.
I mean, you can have two stories, man. I mean, it's cool.
From any of those places.
Any of those places. Or hell, all those places. I mean, because you, you know.
Give them back to me real quick. Let me hear them. We'll go, matter of fact, we'll go one by one.
Okay. All right.
Is that cool? Can we go one by one?
All right. Let's do it. We'll start with the first one, outside of the ring.
Which one was this one? I couldn't hear. I'm sorry.
Outside of the ring.
Outside of the ring? Oh, shit moment? Like, literally outside the ring? Like, right outside the ring or just not in the ring?
Like, just not in the ring.
I remember, but at a show, man. We're talking about wrestling.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Now, there's that super sweet time that I got to sit on Mario's lap in L.A. and get chopped by Willie Mack so hard that there's a photo where my hair is sticking up like electricity, all my dreads straight in the air, Willie's hands on my chest. My chest is super deformed and caved in, and the Mario is loving every single part of it.
Shit. All right, so next one, inside the ring.
Inside the ring?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what about when I got my tooth knocked out? That was a good one.
Oh, yeah, tell that one.
When you get socked right in the mouth and you watch your tooth fly across the ring, jeez, and literally you say, oh shit, my tooth, as you come back in the ring to continue wrestling, that's the moment.
Who did that one? Who did the chop?
Well, if you watch Championship Wrestling Premier, I was doing the match 7 from the Best of 7, we'll say my man Sweet Thompson punched that right out of my mouth. But if we go outside of Casey real quick, I was a tag match, Beers and Body Slams, and it was against Thomas Slade and Sandra Loon, and Slade comes to drive Thomas Slade in our corner at the very beginning of the match, and when he drives him into our corner, I'm about to tag him, but he drives him to the corner so hard, his elbows fell over the top rope and elbowed me right in the mouth. Oh. And I watched the tooth fly across the room tagged in to finish whatever sequence we're about to go into. And the rest of the match, after every single spot, I just remember saying, my teeth, it's gone.
Oh, man. Wow. Damn. All right, the next one, in the bedroom. I said in the bedroom. You said go to every spot, so we're going to go to every spot. Oh,
man. All right, listen, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We all seen the Code Red before.
Yeah.
let's just say, I pulled that one out one time, and she said, oh, shit. I may or may not have seen it on Twitter. I'd give it a try. So, you know, oh shit, it happened.
All right. And the last one, in the bathroom.
Oh shit.
I mean, I said in the bathroom. I mean, he wanted to go every spot I said. So, I mean, I'm just holding the man to his word.
Listen, man, hey, we're going to do it, though, because that's how I do things.
That's right.
We can go, recently. This one ain't as entertaining, but I got two pit bulls, and definitely didn't see one of them sneak in the bathroom, and I came in to take a number two, and it was right, the pool of piss was right where the toilet was, and I sat down, pulled my pants down, and I was sitting there, and then I realized that the stench was getting heavy of piss, and I was like, where's that coming from? And I look at my shorts that are on the ground, and they're just soaked and drenched, along with my socks. And I was just like, how did I not feel this number two? And oh shit, they about to get their ass beat.
Wow.
My man.
That's dope.
Chris Bay, thank you for giving us a great oh shit segment. I think you might have won the year's best segment. Because we're going to have a contest after years of doing a podcast. You up there.
Hey, man. Hey, I appreciate that. I'm just coming on here shooting the shit with the guys, man.
That's awesome.
So, Chris, what other events you have coming up you like to promote?
I have on Beers and Body Slams on June 13th coming up. It's the last FSW-produced show before the 10-year anniversary, so you definitely going to want to be there. Check it out. I will be wrestling Shaggy McLovin.
Nice.
So this is the third time me and Shaggy have met. If no one has seen this match before, I recommend you be there to see it if you're in Vegas. Right at the Nerd Bar, June 13th.
Okay.
We're gonna follow that one up with June 22nd. I'm returning to Fighting Evolution Wrestling. This time we're in Jacksonville, Florida, and I will be wrestling JB Cool. The very next day, I will be flying back to Las Vegas event 10-year anniversary at SmackDown against Killer Cross.
Wow.
The FSW Championship, everything I've worked for, the two biggest stars built out of future stars of wrestling.
Yep.
Who's going to win? Will I lose everything I worked for, or will I become a Las Vegas legend? There's only one way to find out. You come show up, tickets are $10 because we're celebrating 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going down right now. Those are what I'm going to leave it at. Well, let me not forget June 15th. We got Ground Zero Pro. We're coming back. The Bag Boys, Double Platinum. Y'all. Squid Thompson and Chris Bay.
Nice.
Versus the one and only B-Boy. And you already know Young Fuego, Adrian Quest.
Nice.
Gotcha. And what is the best way if people want to get to know more information about you that they can reach you?
You can follow me on all social media, Dashing Chris Bay, B-E-Y. That's on Twitter and Instagram. I do Snapchat, too. It's the same name. I don't post as much content, but there's a different level of content on there. You'll get more exclusive studio stuff in there with music on the Snapchat. Just because there's less people in there, and I don't want to leak it all yet now to the whole world, so I leave it on Snapchat. Facebook, I add people, Chris Bay. I don't have a fan page right now, so whenever that limit hits and we have to do a fan page, we will, but for now, that's where it's at. And I post content every day. I try to post stuff every other hour or so and make sure that everything's flooded. If you need to reach me, you're always welcome to DM me. I respond to most DMs. If they're stupid, I don't, but like, the basic questions, I respond. Like, as long as you're not heckling me, I'm cool with responses. I always spend my time wherever I can. So,
and he will do it.
Follow me on any of those platforms.
He will do it. I've DM'd him. I can't believe I'm saying this about a man. I've DM'd him before about an energy drink, and I've been drinking nothing but that peach fizz, and that even sounds even weirder now that I'm thinking about DMing a guy with some fucking peach fizz. I'm going to shut the hell up now.
Yeah.
Chris, go back to your play fat.
Yeah, play fat.
I can just see it now. Hashtag play fat. Hashtag peach fuzz.
Oh, you know I'm gonna post that tonight,
you
right?
You probably will.
Hashtag play fat.
Chris Bay, we just want to say thank you, man, so much for joining us tonight in our interview. And we are big fans of yours. We're going to be definitely at the 10th anniversary show, and probably the show before that as well, man. So just keep doing the good work that you're doing, and thank you, man, for coming on the podcast with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me, man. I had a lot of fun, and hopefully we can do it again, you know? Hopefully we can do it again when there's a major shift going on, or, you know, hopefully I sign that contract somewhere or whatever. If I'm still available, you know, we're doing this again.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Absolutely. Everyone, Chris Bay. Woo!
What's up, everybody? It's your boy Simon Street with the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Want to let everybody know that coming up on Thursday, June 13th, 2019 at 8 p.m. at 450 Fremont Street, Las Vegas, Nevada, you're going to have the Nerd Bar with Future Stars of Wrestling present to you Beers and Body Slam, featuring none other than Joey Ryan. You will also see stars such as Chris Bay, Damian Drake, Funny Bone, Santana Jackson, Sin Bodie, Sway Thompson, Dave Manzi, Greg Romero, and many more. First row, $25. General admission, $15. Tickets available at FutureStarsOfWrestling.com. We're going to be there and hope to see you too.
Hey there, Matt Michaels here. I just want to let everyone know that the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting are pleased and proud to announce that we will be starting a monthly podcast live at the Boulder Station Hotel and Casino right here in Las Vegas. It's going to be on Monday nights, the last Monday of every month,
And our first one is in June, the 24th at 6 p.m. at the Kix Lounge at Boulder Station Hotel Casino with our special guest, Kenny King. That's right, ROH's own Kenny King and Las Vegas's K-I-N-G King is going to be with your Vegas Bad Boys at the Boulder Station Hotel and Casino. Now, the show will be us and Kenny talking about his life, his career, things you might have never heard about him. We'll talk a little wrestling, and then at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, we'll go right into watching Raw. That's right, WWE Raw Watch Along Party at Boulder Station Hotel and Casino. You can't get that anywhere else here in Vegas right now, just with us, the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And guess what? It's free, open to all ages. And yes, we like to curse a lot, but on this case, we're going to hold it back. So if you want to bring the kids out, please feel free, because it's a family-friendly environment there at Boulder Station Hotel and Casino, and I'm telling you, it's going to be one heck of a good time. So please, please start spreading the word. Tell your friends, because it's a nice little lounge, and seats are going to fill up quick. You're going to be able to order dinner if you'd like, get some drinks, have a good time, and guess what? During Raw, we'll be handing out prizes. So, bulk up a little bit on your WWE trivia, and maybe you might go home with something nice. Boulder Station Hotel and Casino is located at 411 Boulder Highway, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89121. And it is at the Kix Lounge. That's K-I-X-X. And we can't wait to see you. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to get a chance. Do you have any questions for Mr. Kenny King? Ask him right there live as we record the podcast at Boulder Station Hotel Casino's Kix Lounge on June 24th at 6 p.m. Don't miss it.
Hey, guys. You have an opportunity of your lifetime starting June 7th in New York at HOG, House of Glory. We will be having a tryout for Wrestle One Dojo with the president of Wrestle One. Kaz Hayashi will be in town. We'll be doing a tryout, looking for a new face, new somebody. And guess what we're going to give away? We're going to give away a one-week tryout, or one-week, actually, camp stay in Tokyo, Japan. We'll be picking up the two guys for each camp. We'll start in HOG, House of Glory, and then we'll be going on to One Fall Wrestling Factory down in Atlanta. We'll be going to Texas, Kansas City, Oakland, California at Hood Slam, and we're going to finishing up on 15th at Inoki Dojo in LA. So look at what's coming up. You can find me on a Facebook. There's a link to it, and it's a Wrestle 1A Alliance. And if you have any dream of going to Japan, living, eating, and training at the Wrestle 1 Dojo, here's your chance. So hope to see you at one of those six places all over the United States. And live your dream, brother. See you there.